BD podcast at it again.
Islam is taking over the world.
First, we start with he talked about like tolerance and this and that.
What is the most tolerant religion in the world?
Torture machines.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
I mean, I had a friend of mine send me videos from actually Belgrade.
Here in Belgrade, in Serbia, we're at the medieval torture instruments exhibition that were used by crusaders.
Are you using your reason though?
And able to reason.
Archaeological evidence is found in Israel. The places where the Muslims can control it completely, like Bethlehem, we are not able to visit those holy sites.
It's around 500 Muslims on the Al-Aqsa Mosque. Hold on a second. Jews' heads are cut off in Hebron if they go to Hebron.
Do you know anything about Islam?
No.
Do you know anything about Islam?
No, sadly.
Do you know anything about Islam?
Not really.
Do you know anything about Islam?
No, sorry.
You know what Islam means?
Islam? No.
We've been told that they're out to kill us all.
That's what you've been told, that Muslims are out to kill you all?
Well, that's what they say on TV.
Anything.
I know it's in the Middle East, isn't it?
Well, that you're going to have four wives.
Brothers and sisters, as you can see, there are so many Americans who don't know about Islam. We need your help to change that. Help us to build the Dean Center, the first mega Dawah center in America. Click to donate right now. May God Almighty Allah reward all of you.
This is the Dean,
Assalamu alaikum. Greetings of peace. Everyone is going to want to tune into this episode. Very, very important things we're going to be covering. Christians out there, we're going to be talking about Jesus, the Bible, and many misconceptions that are out there about Islam. And it's a shame that you got people like the co-hosts of the PBD podcast at it again.
Here's the reality, guys. Ready for it? Islam is taking over the world.
So we're going to have my next guest from the Muslim Lantern, Muhammad Ali. We're going to be also addressing the Charlie. Yeah, how you doing, Charlie? What's up? We lost contact, man. We had Charlie scheduled on the program and he ghosted us, man. So we had a date set, we had everything set up, a time, and it just didn't happen. But we're going to actually be discussing Charlie, PBD, and much more. You're going to want to tune into this exciting episode. So much to learn. Some history, and you're not going to want to miss this with Muslim Lantern.
If you're able to listen to this and able to reason, I actually want to get your thoughts on this.
Israel's so important to America. What evidence do you have that the Bible is true?
Well, we have archaeological.
Right. Where is that archaeological evidence found?
In Israel.
Right. Thank you. So in the places controlled by Muslims, are we able to access that archaeological evidence?
No.
No. So therefore, as it's controlled by Jews, we Christians have actually gotten the better end of the deal. So you're asking the question, why should we support Israel? We want the Bible to be proven true. The archaeological evidence is found in Israel. The places where the Muslims can control it completely, like Bethlehem, we are not able to visit those holy sites. I have a theological belief, but I also have a belief that protecting the historical integrity of the Bible is good for all of humanity. And under its current government, we're allowed to access those holy sites. I'm able to go to see where Jesus walked on the water. I'm able to go and see where Jesus rose from the dead. I'm able to see where Jesus was betrayed by Judas Iscariot. I'm able to see where Jesus preached the Mount of the Beatitudes. And I think that's worth defending.
But any religion is allowed in Israel. Okay, whether you're Christian, whether you're Assyrian, Armenian, whether you're Druze, but here's the most important thing. There's 2 million Muslim Arabs in Israel. How many Jews are in Gaza? Zero. How many Jews are in Syria? Zero. How many Jews are in Lebanon? Zero. Afghanistan, Iran, Iraq. You cannot be Judeo-Christian in a Muslim country, but you can totally be Muslim in a Christian country.
Nice. You know, there's so much.
Muslim Lantern, Muhammad Ali, Assalamu alaikum.
Alaykum salam.
How are you doing?
How are you? I'm good, alhamdulillah. How's everything?
Alhamdulillah. I know you got a lot to say.
No, yes, subhanAllah.
A lot to unpackage.
Yeah, subhanAllah.
This comes across you and it's like, hold on. I mean, we're the little voice that's out there in the whole like billion-dollar hate industry, the Islamophobia industry, and like people bring this stuff to us and we're like, okay, you feel compelled, like we're talking about, to address this absurdity. Mm-hmm. You actually responded to some other absurdities from the same co-host, talking about there is no good in Allahu Akbar when they say it, and other asinine statements.
Yes.
And here we go some more.
Mm. Yes, subhanAllah, like, as you said, like, you listen to these things and you're like, are these people, how can you blatantly like, with all due respect, lie like this on a public platform and say certain things that are factually incorrect, like, and people are listening as if, like, you know, this is the truth, and no one is sometimes I start to suspect that these people are doing these things because they want people to respond to them. So it's a tactic of, you know what, let me actually lie and fabricate and say things incorrectly in order for me to gain or to get, you know, more traction, more views, of people actually speaking back to me or people coming back and refuting or responding to whatever I'm doing. So I start to believe this because I think it's like, it's very difficult for me to say someone is like this and saying, making up these type of statements as if, like, you know, let's start with he talked about, like, tolerance and this and that.
What is the most tolerant religion in the world?
The most tolerant religion?
I hate to say it to you.
Christianity.
It's not even close.
Let's back up there because Patrick, who I've got to meet, seemed like a really nice guy. And he was talking about, I want people to reason, right? How do you open it up? He framed it like, just listen to this. This guy, he's like paving the way for now this great argument that's going to come with Charlie. He's going to give some just revelation here.
Okay.
So he's painting a picture like, okay, just use your reason now. Uh-huh. Are you using your reason though?
And able to reason. I actually want to get your thoughts on this for anybody that's watching this.
That's what we're trying to do, okay. Isn't it? That's why, subhanAllah, even if you look, you watch the response that we gave or we did to him as well and his co-hosts as well, because the four of them said incorrect statements that time. It was responding to it with references, with evidences, with rationality. That's how we do it all the time. So when we say right now there are lies made, we're going to clarify right now what we refer to, what we mean when we say lies, right? Blatant ones. The first thing, just before talking about lies, what PBD said about the tolerance.
Is no religion more tolerant than Christianity?
The question is that a good thing or not a good thing, right? If you want to, because we hear this term used all the time, like we were commenting before on the mafia leader and Andrew, and he was talking about like fear of God, like, which is the opposite. And we were saying that they move from one goalpost to a different goalpost depending on the situation, right? If you talk about tolerance, okay, why don't we look at Christian history? Was Christianity actually tolerant, or do you mean today Christianity have become tolerant? Because when you look at Christian history and you look at the Crusades, and what they did, and you look at massive amounts. You know, everyone knows about the Spanish Inquisition. Everyone knows about the dead bodies. Everyone knows about torture machines that are still available that were used in that region in the name of Christianity, right? We don't want to talk about even...
They have museums. Sorry to cut you off. What you just said, people don't understand. I really want this. This is torture machines.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I had a friend of mine send me videos from actually Belgrade.
Assalamu alaikum, brother Eddie. I'm here in Belgrade in Serbia. We're at the medieval torture instruments exhibition that were used by crusaders. Interesting work. May Allah protect us. These were the garments that were worn by the people who would sin. They would dress them in these garments and made them do like forced pilgrimage. Here are some of the instruments. The breast ripper. It's interesting here, it said how in the time of the Middle Ages, the witchcraft was very spread around, so they were inventing ways of torturing people who were doing witchcraft instead of maybe doing some dawah and trying to educate people. This is also something interesting, not for younger audience. It's called chastity belt, which basically means if you're going away for a while and you're leaving your wife alone to make sure she doesn't fornicate, you put on her chastity belt, which is really crazy, subhanAllah, alhamdulillah, for the beautiful day in Islam. We see what all misguidance breeds in other misguidance. So these are also iron gag. Instrument was used to hush the screams of the victim so as not to hinder the conversation among the inquisitors. The iron pipe beside the ring was forcibly pushed in the victim's mouth and the collar was bolted behind the nape of the neck. Scary. Noisemaker's fife. Another instrument. This, the break knee. Really self-explanatory. To smash joints. Yeah, you can see in the photo who's doing the punishment. We're not blaming religion, but this is, they're presenting it, not us. The oral, also some scary stuff. Mutilation of a hand. You see, here we have something that we know is famous for robbers in Islam under special circumstances, but here we see it was just a way of punishing and torture. So, just want to share with you some of the things. I'll record a few more of these interesting things. So we are in Belgrade, in the museum. It's an exhibition of Middle Age torture devices. Another scary, interesting device, the Spanish tickle torture. Tickle, sarcastically. About the size of average man's hand, this device was used to reduce the victim's flesh to tatters and then to strip it off from his bones anywhere on his body. So we have this, you remember from Sunnah, we have the stories how previous nations and people were tortured in this manner. So obviously the misguided Christianism, which is not original Christianism, as we know, went in this direction, and we see the horrible, horrible things that were born from this deviated Christianity, which everybody now agrees is bad and evil, and we can see as well what was happening. This is a whip with this spiky device. It was used from the earliest times in the Middle Ages, employed mostly to deal with tramps, beggars, unfaithful wives, and women guilty of outrageous behavior toward the local notions of decency. So we see where the women were in the society. Of course, in Islam there are also punishments for indecency and everything, but these are some different levels. The spiked collar, something we use for dogs today. This was used like a handcuff, elaborate handcuff, that's what they say. Next, thumb screws, used for crushing knuckles of the victim. Or written by the empires. So we see another device here. It's called witch's chair. So we can see that this was a recommended remedy against reticent women accused of witchcraft. Most of the time it's here mentioned, it's invented and used in Austria. And we see 1693. We can see here that if we compare in the same time in 1693, Ottoman Empire was ruling Bosnia and this whole area and Serbia also. So we can understand completely now why even non-Muslims are running towards Ottomans, because we didn't see these kind of devices during the Ottoman, especially during the Islamic era. We know there were executions and stuff like that, but not this kind of evil creativity. The next, Virgin of Nuremberg. Horrible, like a casket which has blades inside. This we thought was only in movies, but obviously it was used. Dates back to 1515. This is very interesting. Here we have X, usual X, but what it says here, of course, all this form of capital torture, but usually X was reserved for those of noble blood, while the common people were subjected to much longer painful deaths. So we see discrimination even in the capital punishing and torturing.
Absolutely.
Where they have museum, you can see the torture machines that they were using. Yes.
The horrendous, you can see the extent of human invention when it comes to torture. When you look at these, like, what these people were not just torturing for the sake of punishment. They were torturing for the sake of pleasure. If you were to look at these types of machines and how complicated and what type of punishments they were using, you'd be surprised that this is an act of pleasure. This is more sadism than it is like anything that is done for the sake of punishment. So if you want to talk about tolerance, I don't know what tolerance was there. Okay, but today they would tell you today Christians are tolerant. We'd say okay, because the Christians of today, which is a point that we made before, are not Christian. They're liberal.
Liberalism.
Exactly.
So liberalism. Liberalist Christians,
yes.
Liberal Christians are tolerant.
Exactly, which is not Christianity.
It's not Christianity.
Exactly, because if you look at Paul when he says that salvation is only in the belief and death of resurrection of Jesus Christ, where is the tolerance? There is no tolerance. It's like you believe this or you're going to be punished. You have no salvation. And if you look at the teachings of Christianity itself, tolerance is not that teachings of Christianity. It is liberalism, in which makes the people behave in that way. And that's why, you know, they're tolerant with all groups, even if it goes against the religion, is because they don't believe in their book anyways. They say we're Christian, but they believe do to others as you like done to yourself, or do whatever you want as long as you don't harm anyone else, which is the harm principle said by John Stuart Mill, John Mill, and all of these people who came in the liberal period. So, okay, tolerance is because they're not really Christian. So, okay, we'll go with that. There's no problem. They're tolerant. This is not a good thing, because what they mean by tolerance is that there is no lines for what they believe or what they don't believe. Anyone can do whatever they want. So therefore, it doesn't make any sense to say I'm this or I'm that, because anyone can do anything. Then he goes into this other person called Charlie Kirk, which I'm not really that familiar with. You're just telling me about him. He's a political commentator.
Charlie Kirk, for those that don't know, just a little quick introduction. Charlie Kirk is the founder of the executive director of Turning Point, a student movement dedicated to identifying, organizing, empowering young people. And he's a conservative Christian radio host.
Okay.
He's very, and we had him booked, actually. I spoke with him, and we were booked to have him on the program. And we were, you know, because I don't know if I was just naive.
Okay.
And I'm thinking, like, man, because at one point, the PBD and the Charlie Kirks, they were, like, loving that Islam was the last front standing against the sexualization of children. Man, they were just like, hold on, man, these guys are pushing back. They were respecting that. And they're like, we should work together with Muslims. So we're like, okay, let's work on a common platform of good. And next thing you know, it's like almost like the,
SubhanAllah.
You know, where did that all that go?
Yeah. With the wind, as they say, it's like, it's like, and subhanAllah, I spoke
And truly, sorry, you feel like I'm sure you also. I feel like, man, we actually have a lot in common. We can, we don't have to compromise each other's ways, our religions, but there's a lot of things that we can cooperate in goodness. But then when you want to really get down to it, it's like it's all talk.
Yeah, absolutely. And I've spoken about this before, to do with the GP Jordan Peterson and his likes. When I spoke about him, is that. We have to also, as Muslims, this is a very important point, follow and be supportive of the Muslims that are speaking, rather than aligning with certain people that, you know, one day they're with you, the next day they're with someone else. Because in reality, Allah Azza wa Jalla says in the Quran, وَلَن تَرْضَ عَنْكَ الْيَهُودُ وَلَن نَصَارَ حَتَّى تَتَّبِعَ مِلَّتَهُمْ. Jews and the Christians will never be pleased with you until you follow their way. Yes, there is commonalities. We believe in similar prophets. We believe in Jesus. We believe in the last day. We believe in day of judgment. We believe in God. We believe in the laws of not kill, don't rape, don't see. All of these are commonalities. But sadly, when you look at how they behave, they would ally with one another, but when it comes to Islam and Muslims, you know, we would ally with the Jewish people who are in their belief the killers of Jesus, who are in their belief the first people in the Spanish Inquisition started to, or the Crusades who they started to kill, was them. They found a group of Jewish people, said these people killed our God, so let's go and kill them first. So we have all of these two groups that have no similarity with each other. You have the Jewish people, you read what the Talmud says about Jesus and how it insults him and all of that, and what it says about Mary. And then you look at the Christians that believe in the Trinity, and the Jews call them polytheists. And you look at these two people, they're in complete contradiction.
Strange
and
relationship.
And then they say Judeo-Christian. And I'm like, what is that Judeo-Christian that you're trying to tell us about? So it's insane.
That's a false notion right there.
Absolutely.
I've interviewed also Christian, Christian pastor, priest, who said this is like made up. There is no Judeo-Christian. This is a made up term. There's no, I mean, like you're just illustrating, you know, you have one that's over here. If the Sanhedrin, if the laws were implemented in Israel, you'll see. We can throw a clip in there if we can find it.
Discriminate against Christians.
Christians are idol worshippers.
You discriminate
the
against
Torah
Christians.
The Torah says that Christianity is idol worship.
Let me ask.
Where they're like, we'd execute because they look at Christians as idolaters.
Absolutely, 100%.
Right? But Islam actually protects the Sharia, God's law, protects the Christians, the people of the book. And then on the other end, you have the Christians here who now are being insulted, like you were saying. Do they get this? Like their Jesus is being...
I'm surprised.
You know, burning in the depths of hellfire, they say.
Yes. Right now.
Spit at. How many times did an undercover report...
It's a tradition.
Recently, Israeli Channel 13 reporter Yossi Eli went undercover as a priest for a day. Dressed in a robe, he walked through the old city with Franciscan Father Alberto. In the first 5 minutes, he was spat at five times by Orthodox Jewish Israelis.
Yeah.
They would tell you. And there's videos of Jewish people saying this. Not like me and you were just saying this. Like there are clips and videos of people in the so-called state of Israel telling you these things.
But we're the
you.
Bad guys.
Yeah.
We say Jesus, peace be upon him.
Yeah.
We love him.
And you know...
You love Jesus?
Yeah, of course.
I love Jesus.
I can't be a Muslim if I don't. Yeah. And subhanAllah, you know, the other funny thing is this, is that... The Jewish people would say, we are going to paradise. The Jewish people would say, Muslims, they're not going to be punished because they would say they're monotheists. They're following the Noahide laws. They will say, many Jews, they will say this. They will say that Muslims are not bound by the laws of Judaism, which is the 613 laws, because these are for the children of Israel. And they will say that Muslims are supposed to just follow the Noahide laws, in which you're already following.
We're not going to
So they will say to you, you're okay, there's no problem. Jews will tell you that you're monotheists, there's no issues, you're okay, you're all good, right?
Yeah.
So that's what Jewish people will say, right? And so they don't have an issue with us from that theological perspective. They have a big issue with the Christians, but all of a sudden you see the Christians starting to say we're one and Judeo-Christian and all of that. So in reality, look, we only need Allah. That's what we know when it comes to needing as Muslims. We need Allah, we don't need any people. But in reality, we're just saying, use your intellect, use your mind, you know, that you're using. But we can see now this, for example, PBD and this and that, we see how they're becoming Zionist all of a sudden, supporting...
That's what changed the whole now shift from us kind of supposed to be working together. Mm-hmm. Then the genocide that's happening now. Mm-hmm. And now you have this division, which is actually funded. I've interviewed Alison Weir. She's from If Americans Only Knew. Mm-hmm. And she said the people who are funding this division are the Zionists.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah, and if you don't want to even go into 9/11 and all of these things and who did who and what did what, and you guys are welcome to do your own research on these issues. It's like now it's becoming more clear, because now a lot of people are speaking about it. Now it's not as it used to be, where no one is talking about these issues. And you will understand that there's a group of people, and what these group of people, in this case the Zionists specifically, right? And we're not saying all Jews are Zionists, we're specifically referring to a group of people called the Zionists. And this group of people, the Zionists, is their goal is to first peddle hate against Muslims, right? Making them the enemy, making them the people who are doing everything evil, this and that, so the Christians can be busy with them, while they can be in control of everything else to do with your state, with your country, like the country that we're in right now, which is the US, right? And when we say in control, we're not talking here about conspiracy theories or any of that. What we mean by that, we're talking about a political party called AIPAC that has majority of, the seats in political power. This is what we're talking about, right? So we're not here like peddling hate or saying anything incorrectly about any groups or any minorities. We're just saying true statements, true facts that are actually taking place.
You can go look this up. Absolutely.
Just Google it in 2 minutes. Like, yeah. They proudly would say on their website that we have over 90% of the seats, right? So they will tell you this, and this is just a fact. Now you have this person, Charlie Kirk, and he said something very funny. He said, how do you know Christianity is true? Then the student said archaeological evidence. Then I need to know, okay, which archaeological...
Yeah, so you say, yeah, what evidence do you have that the Bible is true?
Yes.
Yeah.
And then the student responded, archaeological evidence. Okay. And what do you mean archaeological evidence? This is a question I wanted to ask. What archaeological evidence are you referring to in which you're saying that is in the land of Palestine, there is evidence that Christianity is true?
Let's for some people, they might not know what archaeological evidence means. The scientific study of material remains such as tools, pottery, jewels, stone walls, and monuments of past human life and activities.
Yes. So we have, like, for example, when it comes to the scriptures, we've got nothing from the first century from the time of Jesus, according to Christian admission. Zero manuscripts.
Nothing from the first century.
Zero.
The
first 100 years.
Of the Bible, nothing.
Nothing, zero. Okay. No manuscripts. Not a single thing. In second century, late second century, you have something called the P52, as big as this. It's a card. Mm-hmm. It's called the P52.
P52 comes in.
Yeah.
That's about this big?
Yes. And it has no important information. It doesn't have like very important theological information.
So now that's 200 years,
actually. Yes. Now you go into 300 and 400 years, you have some manuscript, and then you have the full Bible towards the middle to end, the 4th century. This is, you have the Codex Sinaiticus, which is the oldest manuscript, right? Mm-hmm. So nearly 400 years, you can say, separate from Jesus is what you have the writing, the teachings of Jesus, right? So when you say archaeological, this is the writings itself, the teachings, let alone now anything else that you want to use as evidence. And we don't know who wrote this, Codex Sinaiticus. We don't know they have their name. They don't have signature. We don't have a chain of narration, which we mean reports that are supported by autobiographies of individual passing down the information. We know they're reliable. We don't have any of that. We just have random scripture that is found. We have tens of thousands of manuscripts that contradict one another, like Bart Ehrman would say in his book, Misquoting Jesus. And in the end, you have someone saying archaeological evidence found in Palestine proves Christianity is true. And I'm like, I didn't understand what this is, even how the student responded and said that. And then he just went all with it as if it's like, what do you mean archaeology? Do you mean you found the hair of Jesus or something? Or or the slippers of his disciples? Or how is that evidence, archaeological evidence, proves Christianity is true? First, that makes no sense.
How do you make that jump now?
Yeah, how did you jump? First, you have to tell us what archaeological evidence are you talking about? Because it's just a word, and it can mean, as you define, so many things. So what archaeological evidence are you talking about? And number two, how does these archaeological evidences, which can be partially anything, this and that, prove objectively that Christianity is true.
Yeah, it's like over people's head. People are just like, okay, he confidently said something, and they're just like, and everybody's like, yeah. So he says, I'm able to see where Jesus walked on water, where Jesus rose from the dead, where Jesus did X, Y, and Z.
Yes.
And
we're going to address that. Yeah. Now, so he said that. Then he responds, he says to him, the archaeological evidence is in that land. Okay? Then the next thing is, he goes into things that Jesus did.
Yeah.
Now, these things that Jesus allegedly did, put a few lines here under allegedly, because you cannot prove this today that he did any of these things. And the oldest manuscripts that you have, as we said, the full manuscripts, 400 years separate from Jesus, written by unknown people. It's not a proof for anything that took place. Yeah. So if we just have a claim 400 years later, we do not know what Jesus actually said. 100%. We cannot prove that because we've got no a valid scientific way of proving the historicity of the statements that are found in the Bible. So if this is the case, when you say, I'm able to see where Jesus walked, you go to, let's say, me and you, we go to the land of Palestine, we see upon the water, or water, a body of water. Oh, this is where Jesus walked on water. How's that proof? How's that evidence for anything? Exactly. Yeah. Like if we were sitting down here, this is where, and this is not true, obviously, this is where Prophet Muhammad ﷺ sat down. If I just made this claim up right now, right, just like randomly, does that mean that this is an actual historical event? No. So when he goes to that place and some random person tells him this is where Jesus walked on water, how does that prove that actually Jesus walked on water? So you're just going there and believing certain things, which is the maximum you could say is hearsay. Some random guy is telling you this is where this random event is happening. And we even criticize some Muslims of things to do with that. You go to certain lands in certain Muslim countries, say, the hair of the prophet or the pen of the prophet, or we say to them, or this is where that prophet Abraham put his, we tell them this is not reliable.
Yeah.
From us as Muslims, we have a very strict criteria when it comes to history.
Very strict.
Yeah. Yeah, and in order for you to accept something historically, this has to be present. If it's not present, we don't care what you say. So he's making all of these claims, I'm able to see this, I'm able to see that. But you know, what many of these people reject, neglect to notice is the fact that when we say 20,000 people, 30,000 people dead in Gaza today, that many of them are Christians. Many of them are Christians. Some people forget the fact that in that land, the land of Palestine, it's not only Muslims there. There are also atheists there. There are also Christians there. And those same atheists and Christians have been killed. And there are videos circulated of Christians being killed. There's videos circulated of churches being destroyed. And these are the earliest, what he's calling archaeological evidence, the earliest churches are being destroyed by who? By the
but
same guy.
That's the, you know, we talk about, okay, Jesus, Prince of Peace, love, love, love. But then, I mean, this is, I mean, with all due respect, it's just hypocritical. It's hypocrisy because you're talking about Jesus, who's supposed to be all these attributes, but you're seeing a modern day Holocaust happening right now against Palestinians.
Absolutely. Where's the tolerance?
Jesus was born in Palestine? Mm. So he's Palestinian? Mm-hmm. Would he want, you know, approve of all these kids being killed? Would Jesus approve
last
of that?
Last time I checked, Christians would say no.
I mean, so now it's like, okay, we're going to, you know, get all pumped up and archaeological and, you know, Jesus walked down the water and all this stuff, but then not say anything, not a boo, scared to actually say up and speak up against those Christians who are being slaughtered. Mm-hmm. Muslims who are the Palestinians in Jesus' backyard.
Absolutely. And this, do you know why they have to say things like this, which makes no sense? The reason is simple, is because they have no reason to put forward when someone asks, why should America, this was the original question, why should America support State of Israel? Yeah. They have no answer. And because they have no answer, they have to go into some random tangent about some nonsense to do with nothing. Because now the Americans are waking up. They're paying their tax dollars. They know the tax dollars is going to slaughter innocent children, women, and people who have no power are helpless. And they're saying, why is my tax dollars that you keep increasing inflation every year and you keep printing more money, sending it over there? The billions of dollars are being sent. This is number one support state, if you want to say that America sends money to. And then Egypt, you have also aid sent there. So they send to destroy and then they send aid, you know? And this is all the American tax dollar payer money, right? You give us money and we're going to print money. You're going to increase inflation. You're going to keep paying more. So they're noticing now that the shift because of the social media and Twitter and all of that, and people saying that actually what is happening right now today in reality in that state, that people are shifting their views. So now they have to find some sort of a justification. It's like, continue paying your tax dollars, continue supporting the massacres that are taking place. But they have no justification, really. They cannot give a reason for why America should continue supporting. Now, some of them, they said, you know what? Because the state of Israel supports our interest in the region.
Because that's our ally now.
Yeah, our ally, and they support our interest in the region because the Muslims are there. But the reality is, you have created the problem, and now you're claiming and pretending as if this is your ally helping you in the problem. How did the problem start to begin with? Mm-hmm. You gave the power, the Americans, and you have the British, and their support is the reason that they are in that region to begin with. So you put them in the region, you instill them in the region, you put them there, and then you're pretending that they're protecting your interests. The only reason there is a danger in you that these regions, the people in the region, have an issue with you is because you made that state there. If you did not make the state there, you would not need a helper in the region because the Muslims or the Middle Eastern nations will not have an issue with you. The only reason the Middle Eastern, this is something that people can understand, so I'll repeat it again. Right now we have Americans and British creating the state in the land of Palestine, which is why the Muslims and the people in the Middle East have an issue with America, right? Now, if you did not create a state, Muslims and people in the Middle East will not have an issue with America. And if they don't have an issue with America, why do you need an ally in the Middle East? So they created the problem by creating the state, and then they're pretending that they need an ally after they themselves created the problem. So it's a self-fulfilling prophecy in a way, right? They create the problem, and then they pretend they're doing a solution for the problem that they have created. So this just makes zero sense, right? And in reality, you don't see Muslims are trying to, like you have America, they have very good relations right now with many nations in the Middle East.
I mean, why can't, I mean, you have, when America was founded, right? You had Morocco, a Muslim nation, wasn't one of the first that acknowledged mm-hmm. and mm-hmm. was an ally, mm-hmm. no?
Yeah, I believe so.
Yeah, so why can't we have, I mean, why is, it's assumed that, okay, the Muslims, these are the enemies. Uh-huh. Why?
Because we come back to the same group that we started talking about, right? The idea of Zionism, the idea of making them make Muslims look in a specific way, a group of murderers.
Because Muslims would want to have peace.
Exactly.
That's the thing. If you want to have peace, let's have peace.
And we're coming to that. We're coming to now an actual application refuting also what the other person was saying. But I'm just finishing what this, specifically this guy, Kirk said, right? Yeah. So there is no such thing as evidence, archaeological evidence and this and that, and that you can go freely do whatever you want. No, everyone is treated as a second-class citizen. You're only allowed to enter certain places and visit them and see them with the permission of the government, when the government wants. If they tell you don't go, they're not allow you to go. So it's not that you're able to go there as a Christian.
Okay, so you moved on now. His second argument saying that we can go and look at this evidence, the archaeological evidence. Yes. And what were you saying now? That's not true.
I'm saying that's not true. That in reality, it's not an open way that anyone can just, like, you know, when you go to any random country and there is like some, you know, historical remains, anyone can come and look at them, right? That's not the case. They have certain times, have certain restricted areas for Jewish people only. You say, no, you're not allowed to enter this restricted. This is a place that's only for us. So it's not as free as they're trying to pretend it to be. And anyone who actually visited.
So it's a lie. This is misinformation.
Absolutely. Yeah. And anyone who actually visited. And when there, we'll know. The restrictions, we'll see how they deal with the people at the border, how they deal with different people. They'll be more welcome to Americans because they support them. But look at other Christians coming from different nations. Look at random Arabs who are Christian. Look at different people, how they will treat them when they're trying to go and the times to visit certain places, restrictions, all of that. So it's not no way near what he's saying. But who really in history allowed people to do what they wanted to do? It was the Muslims. When the Muslims had that land, the land of Palestine, after Salahuddin, Al-Ayyubi, when Muslims had the land of Palestine, or before, after the time of Umar al-Khattab, when after the Muslims had that land, there was Muslims, Christians, and Jews living there.
This is historically sound. This is history. This is something that, you know, is a fact.
Yeah, the basic evidence for that is how is there churches and synagogues there still? Why, when Muslims had this land for 2,000 years or something, or maybe more, why didn't they just destroy these places? I mean, like, why didn't they say, okay, let's destroy these places of
unbelievable, man. This is
So you have these places of worship, and what you did is subhanAllah, I believe even and people can correct me on this, is Salahuddin or one of the historians, when we took that land, one of the conditions of the group of people that were asking, believe were Christians, don't allow the Jews to enter here. But then he said to them, no, under Islamic law, everyone here is allowed to live. Because when you look at the time of the Prophet Muhammad, who is living in Medina? Jewish people, or these people are trying to say you cannot have harmony of people in society. I don't know which historical book they've read. The time of the Prophet Muhammad, you had the Christians, you had the Jews, and you had the Muslims.
Medina Charter, right?
Yes, absolutely.
The Medina Constitution.
Absolutely. And we have the Constitution and the writings of the Prophet recognizing the right. We have Umar al-Khattab doing the same. We have Abu Bakr Siddiq.
They're going to always bring up this incident that happened with Qaybar and whatnot.
Yeah, if you want to talk about Banu Qurayza and what they did and what happened to the Banu Qurayza and this and that, or any of these things, you look at the historical narrative. You look at the fact that the Prophet ﷺ had a treaty with Banu Nadir, had a treaty with the Jewish tribe at that time. And then what happened, and the treaties with Banu Qurayza, treaties with Banu Nadir, and you see that both of them broke their treaties, both of Banu Qurayza and Banu Nadir. For example, in the case of Banu Qurayza, there was a treaty with the Prophet ﷺ. There was a battle called the Battle of Ahzab, right? Where you had the groups, or the Battle of Khandaq, and Ahzab has two names, where the Bedouin Arabs, they collected, they came as groups to attack the Prophet Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam. And then the Prophet Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam, he had, because they were three times the number or more, he had to build one of the companions, or they thought, let's make this trench. So he built a trench, but the Jewish tribe was behind the believers, and the Meccans were coming to attack from the front, and the Muslims are in the middle. So you got this way, and like you have someone behind you and someone in front of you, and you are.
You would have been annihilated, destroyed. Yeah,
exactly. So what the Prophet did is he said, "Okay, we're going to make this treaty with the Jewish people behind this Jewish tribe, because if we'd be afraid, we're fighting the enemy, they can attack us. They can attack the city from the back. So we'll make a treaty with them. Do not attack, and leave us to fight." They agreed. Okay, we're not going to attack. All of this is historically documented. We're not going to attack. We're not going to do anything. No issues. The minute the army attacked, they broke their treaty.
Mm-hmm.
And now they were going to attack the believers from the back. Now, what happened is, as a miraculous thing that we believe in as Muslims, that Allah Azza wa Jalla sent a very strong wind on the pagan Arabs, and then they left. There was no battle. And then the Prophet ﷺ said to all the army, let's go back now to Bani Qurayza, because they were broken the treaty, and they're going to attack us from back. So Prophet Muhammad ﷺ went. So they went in their strongholds or whatever it is, and the Prophet ﷺ, they did not surrender. Even though the Prophet came with the army and they broke their treaty, they did not say we're going to surrender. So there was a siege, and that siege took time. And in the end, they surrendered. When they surrendered, subhanAllah, did the Prophet ﷺ slaughter all of them straight out? No, that was not what happened. They said, the Prophet ﷺ, he was telling them about the judgment. And they said, we will accept someone who's Mu'adh, a companion of the Prophet ﷺ. We're going to accept him. He can be a person that will accept his judgment, because they used to work with him, they had relations with him, so they accepted his judgment. So he came and he told them that the people who are male adults, these people will be killed, the male combatants, the adults will be killed, the women and the children and the goods, anything else will be taken, right? They're not going to be killed, they will be taken. Then the Prophet ﷺ, he said that you establish upon them the ruling of Allah and His Messenger. So this is like, it's a divine rule. The way you establish there would have been the same divine ruling that Allah would have established.
But this is their law, according to their law, right? This
is
the Torah.
And this is even found today, the interesting thing. If you open the
Torah. So he judged by the Torah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
He judged by their own scripture. Even though we believe they're changed, there is changes in them. Uh-huh. But he still judged with what they had in their own hands.
Okay, so you give some modern example, like someone does some crime, and then the criminal's like, okay, I'll surrender, but I want to be judged by the Constitution.
Yes.
And then they give him the electric chair.
Yes.
And now you're bringing up like, hold on.
And then you're complaining.
You're complaining.
Yeah. So let's say a Muslim army takes a group of people and they say, what judgment would you accept? They say, we'll accept the American Constitution, because they took America.
Yeah.
They say, we're not going to take your Sharia.
Yeah,
we're going to take the American Constitution. So the Muslim government applies the American Constitution. Then later only come and complain. Why did you apply the American Constitution to me, right? So, subhanAllah, this, and I believe this law is still found today. I believe if you go to Deuteronomy, if you will have something very similar to it. In Deuteronomy chapter 20, verse 10, says if you siege a city, if you besiege a city. If you read the verses before and onwards, says if you besiege a city and then they don't surrender, and then you win, then you kill the main combatants, and you take the people, other people as captives and ransom. This is literally what it says.
Yeah.
It's still in their book, even though we say it's changed, but that same thing is still there.
I got three more clips I'm going to show you. Mm-hmm. So are you done with this point? Anything else you want to add to there?
Yeah. So I just want to say, look at history instead of listening to people.
Look at history.
Yeah. So when we say look at history, mean look at the time in Andalusia and Spain, where the Jewish people had the right to travel all over the Ottoman Empire. because there was no passports, there was no borders at that time. If you were living in the Ottoman Empire, you could travel anywhere. Look at Morocco, because they're saying there's no Jews in Morocco, I believe. I don't know if you mentioned Morocco or not. But Morocco, where historically they opened the Jewish people running away from the Crusades, and they said, please take us in. We want to pay the jizya, please take us in. And the people took them. And until this day, we have the Jewish people living in Morocco. We have Jewish people living in Yemen. We have Christians, 50 million, living in Egypt. Coptic Christians. The leader built them, Sisi, the president built them the biggest cathedral in the Middle East in 2019 or 2020. He didn't build the biggest mosque. He built them the biggest cathedral in the Middle East. So anyone who's telling you this...
Albania, Turkey, Bosnia, the list goes on and on.
So for him to say there's no Muslim...
They're thriving Jewish communities... Yes. And Jewish historian academics who come out and say Islam saved the Jewry.
Absolutely.
If it wasn't for Islam, you gave that beautiful example, repopulating. Can you imagine that? The Christians actually were like banned the Jews from Jerusalem.
Absolutely.
Omar, second Khalif, radiallahu anhu, then you have Salahuddin Ayyubi. They repopulate. Mm-hmm. I mean, I want people to really think about that.
Yeah.
They actually repopulate Jerusalem.
And you mentioned Salahuddin. His physician was Maimonides.
Second
Moses. And he was the physician of Salahuddin. And he wrote writings about how Muslims were treating them well, right? You have Karen Armstrong, I believe she writes as well about how the treatment between the Jews and the Muslims, etc. Many people. That's what I'm saying. How could you say things which are blatantly lies, historically fabricated and inaccurate? Do you just assume, because the people watching you do not know history, have not investigated history, have not studied history, they're just going to take it? Or do you do this with the intention that you're expecting people, you know, to respond to you, and you're trying to get views and fame? It's one of the two. Like, I don't think there could be another alternative to this.
Yeah, this is just asinine. It's ridiculous. So we covered pretty much in the first video, all religions are accepted in Israel. That's the statement. Did we cover that?
Yeah. So we said, like, when you say accepted, what do you mean? Do you mean slaughtering 30,000 people? Is Islam one of these religions when you say all religions? Last time I checked, all means everything, right?
Yeah.
So when you say all religions, the Muslims that are being slaughtered, the Christians that are being slaughtered, also in Gaza with the Muslims that are living there, is that all religions being accepted? When Israelis tell you it's a tradition to spit at Jesus, when you see them spitting at churches, you see them destroying churches, destroying mosques, is that all religions accepted? When they attack the Muslims before October the 7th, 1 or 2 years before, and I have a video on this, do you remember in Ramadan when they went to the believers praying in Masjid al-Aqsa and they attacked them?
It's a constant, mowing the lawn constantly.
Absolutely. So is this respecting religions? In the month of Ramadan, that is the holy month of Muslims, you know, it's a term holy, whatever, sacred month of Muslims, you go and you're attacking the Muslims, you're killing. Is this respecting all religion? I don't know. What do you mean by respecting all religion?
Yeah, so in this myth now, you can not have a Judeo-Christian Muslim, Judeo-Christian in a Muslim country, so you cannot have...
Yeah, we already debunked that, showing how many historical examples are a refutation of this. And today, you can go and see yourself.
And that's the prime example where everything's happening now in Jerusalem when Muslims ruled. Didn't have the Christians. Also, their key for the Holy Sepulchre, their holiest church, the Muslims for how many hundreds of years
have
been holding that key?
Absolutely, 100%.
Yeah.
Like, honestly, I'm really, that's why I was so shocked and surprised. And like, you saw me starting by saying, like, I was just so shocked. How could you say these statements like this, as if like no one is like, you know, no one have read, open a book of history, human history or something, to read the relationship between the Christians and the Muslims and how it was throughout history. So it's completely insane. And we just invite the people, as we said, to open a basic book of history. Read these people who are like, Karen Armstrong is not Muslim. You read these things that we're mentioning.
Yeah.
These are not books of Muslims, right? When we quote these people, Maimonides and his writings, he's one of the most respected people. They call him the second Moses among the Jewish people, Jewish nations. You will have rabbis explicitly telling you that the only reason the Jews are alive today is because Muslims protected them from the Crusades.
Yeah.
So, I don't know, Judeo-Christian...
Charlie, what's going on? And we're coming from... a place of trying to help you and others like that better understand, because it's very dangerous. You know, a lot of this rhetoric that we had here in Chicago, you had people listening to this person who killed I don't know if you heard back where you're from, UK, the news here. Well, this is here in Chicago. Mm. It's an example of how dangerous this kind of rhetoric is, you know, when they pump people up.
Mm.
And what happened was you had a young boy, Palestinian boy, he got stabbed like 26 times.
Mm-hmm.
And then when they interviewed the person who was his landlord, he said he had been listening to conservative talk radio. So this is just one prime example of how this, you know, this rhetoric, this nonsense is very dangerous.
You know, SubhanAllah, that is the reason I made that response to PPD, the first response that I made, right? Which is the only response, because I don't usually even give them the time of the day. But when you're making so much of a blatant lie, and but the biggest issue I found, what really made me really, agitated, if you want to use that term, when I've seen that clip, is what he was saying. Christians, what are you going to do? Christians, what are you...
Yeah.
Like, are you trying to get people to become violent? Are you trying to get people to do incorrect things? Is that what you're trying to get people to do? Oh, look, these people are multiplying. These people are... What are you going to do about it? What are you going to stick? Are you going to be tolerant? Like, it's essentially saying, be the opposite of tolerant. Mm-hmm. Be aggressive. Be violent. Commit... that's what they're saying. Commit crimes. Right? They're not going to say this like this, but this is the indication of what you're doing. When you have an emotional person listening to you.
Yeah.
And they did that when it comes to the, when I was responding, it was the priest incident, you know, that what happened. So in that context, you have someone who's a Christian who's attacked in a way, and you're saying, Christians, what are you going to do? Yeah. Christians, what are you trying to say?
Yeah. So let's go to the next clip. And guys, we're here. If it doesn't even have to be, it doesn't have to be on camera, off. We can have some lunch. You down to have
100%.
We come back, sit, and let's have a man-to-man, heart-to-heart conversations. And
first,
okay, so let's go to the next clip.
Point out that you spent half your speech talking about a foreign country thousands of miles away, which brings me to my question. Last year, Turning Point USA hosted the Young Jewish Leadership Summit, during which you said, so a Christian that's not pro-Israel, I doubt they actually love their Bible. And I will stand by that statement. If you are a Christian that doesn't love Israel, then you take your Bible way, way, way too much for granted. End quote. So who are you to question the faith of Christian Americans that don't support a foreign country of a different religion that has spied on us, attacked us, and lied to us, like about WMDs in Iraq? And especially given your recent suggestion that Israel allowed the recent Hamas attack to happen, why would you support a country that would do that? And do you still stand by your statement like you said you would?
No, I definitely stand by the statement. So I'm not an apologist for the Israeli government, but let me ask you, what religion was Jesus? What did he believe?
Obviously he was Jew, but modern day Judaism is...
Hold on, time out. No. Where was Jesus born?
Well, somebody say he was the first Christian.
Well, hold on, time out. Well, where was Jesus born?
Why does that matter?
Well, no, do you know?
Why does it matter?
Okay, yeah, you're obviously not a Christian. You don't know where Jesus was born. He's born in Bethlehem. Okay.
In Judea. So,
and he was raised in Nazareth, and he walked on the water in Capernaum. What country are those places in right now?
What does it matter?
It does matter. You know why? Because when I went to Israel, I came in contact with the living God that walked on water and rose Lazarus from the dead. When I went to Israel, I saw the Bible come to life. When I went to Israel, I saw Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and Sarah, Rebecca, and Leah in the Hall of the Patriarchs. When I went to Israel, what I read is Bible stories popped open, and I said, this is the word of God. This is real. These are not fairy tales or fables or things that we tell our kids. Mm. When I went to Israel, I was able to cry where Jesus cried, where he was betrayed by Judas and arrested, where he rose from the dead and gives us eternal life. I am not an apologist for Israel, but I reject wholeheartedly this narrative. Christians who turn their back on Israel, it says in Genesis and Romans and 1 Thessalonians, Paul said, you will bless the Jews. If you bless Israel, you will be blessed. If you scorn Israel, you will be scorned. The Israeli government, plenty of suspicious things going on. How do we know the Bible is true? Every day, there are archaeological discoveries that confirm the truths of the Bible in 1 Samuel, in 1 Kings, in 1 Chronicles. There is a diabolical, satanic agenda every single day to try and delegitimize the scriptures. And I will defend the Holy Land, the place that let me see where my Lord and Savior lived. And I will not apologize for that. Thank you very much. Next question. Thank you.
On package.
He seems to be repeating the same argument everywhere he goes. Like, I would expect like a new way of like responding or saying something. But yeah, subhanAllah, the funny thing is, Did he also see where they crucified Jesus? Did he see where the Jews were like reporting to the Roman? Did he see that part as well when he was there? I'm like just wondering, right? When he was walking around, did he see these parts as well? Or did he only see the good parts, right? And who is doing these things? Did he see where they were trying to stone Jesus everywhere he goes? Did he see when they called him a Satan, a devil, worshiper? Did he see these things or are they not a part of his scripture?
Did he see where he flipped the table and said, you adulterous and wicked generation of vipers?
Yes. So I don't know if he saw these parts or just he's seeing the other parts where Jesus is doing something, but he's not seeing the other parts where he's being persecuted by the same people that he's saying he should support, right? And this is like a funny argument because as we said, this argument is applicable if Muslims were in rule more than it is if Israelis were in rule. But it's the evidence history. How did the Zionists of today come to that land to begin with? How did they come? They came because the Muslims opened their doors to the Jewish people, not even saying the Christians. The Christians are already living there. How did they come to that land? Because we see, when you see Herzl arranging the movements, and you see 1917, you see what was going on, and you see that there was this massive ships going, and this is all historically shown, at the Balfour Declaration, you have all of these things are there. They are even in the UN, and I put the references before, where you have Herzl speaking to the British Empire, saying we want that specific land, and then you see these massive groups of people moving from all around Europe, right? And you see the number jumping from 10% into 33%, right? And all of these people are coming. How are they coming when it was Muslims in rule at that time? The only way they can come is that Muslims were allowing them to enter, right? It's the only possible rational explanation. So they entered, they were allowed to come, they were allowed to practice, they were allowed to go around and do whatever they wanted to do. So this argument of his does not work, right? Mm-hmm. Because in reality, it can be applicable to all cases and scenarios and situations. Now when he goes to Jesus, what was his religion? We already addressed this before and we address it again. We say, when you say Jew, what do you mean by Jew? Do you mean that he came from a lineage of Judah, came from a lineage of the 12 tribes, right? Judah, referring to Jacob, children of Israel, and from Abraham. You have people today who are coming from that same lineage, who are Muslims, who are atheists, who are agnostic, who are Christian. It's not a religion now. If you don't talk about lineage. If you say he's a Jew, meaning he believed the same beliefs that the Jewish people were believing, so why was he refuting the Pharisees? Why was he refuting the Jewish people that were around him? Why was he breaking some of the laws? You're allowed to see this with your own eyes, that he changed certain commands, which meaning he was introducing more. This is what Muslims believe. Yes, he did follow most of the laws, which were good laws coming from the previous prophets, right, including Moses. But there was things that he changed. There was things that he did not follow. There was things that he didn't do, right? And which is one of the reasons they didn't accept him, because he claimed to be the Messiah. And they excommunicated him. They said, no, you're not the Messiah. So all of these arguments and claims, you see how emotional it is, right? When he starts, look, I've seen this, and he starts this emotional speech and rhetoric, and people start clapping. I'm like, okay, do you have rationality to put forward? Or is it just emotions and using buzz terms, archaeological evidence? Okay, what archaeological evidence? Why don't you just tell us? Instead of naming random chapters and saying archaeological evidence, why don't you actually give us references and evidences and actual evidences that we can look at and observe, and we welcome them. If you were sitting here, I would love to see these objective archaeological evidences that would demonstrate and prove that Christianity is true. I would love to see this. You know, we're looking for the truth, right?
Yes,
why did you come and show us what is the absolutely objectively true? And we said, if you mean by archaeological is where he did this, where he did that, which is all hearsay claims, even the Bible itself is not going to tell you in this inch in the land of Palestine, this is what this happened. So you have to rely on some hearsay. You have to rely on the hearsay of the people that said, oh, this is where it happened. Other than that, you got no proof. You got no evidence. Mm-hmm. Even the Bible that you believe in does not tell you where inch, where Lazarus was resurrected. It doesn't tell you any of that.
Yeah.
So you have to just rely on what people tell you.
Two more things I want to cover from here and get to the next. Hopefully we can have time to get two more clips. People flip out when you say Jesus was a Muslim. And they just go berserk. They can't make the connection because, you know, let's get into that real quick. Mm-hmm. Defining what Muslim means.
Yes.
The religion of Abraham, Jesus following that same religion, and the chronological order with all the prophets and messengers, if it makes sense. Because what is he saying? He said, what religion is he? He'd never heard the term Christian, right? Mm-hmm. Didn't exist at that time.
Yes.
So it's left in the air. What religion was he?
Absolutely. And because Christian just means to follow Christ. And that's why that student could not respond when he asked him what was his religion. So they ended up talking about what was his race instead of saying what was his religion. It's like you asking me what's your religion, I'm saying Arab. Yeah. Arab is a race, it's not my religion, right? That's a race that where you come from. It has everyone from every different belief. That's
but we can answer what his religion actually
absolutely,
was. We
absolutely,
can answer 100%.
Absolutely, 100%.
Would you bet your life on it?
100%.
All right.
That's what I'll do right now. So the thing is this, is like the word Muslim, what we say in the Arabic language, if anyone opens any dictionary, in the Arabic language, the word Muslim means submitter. The word Islam means submission. It comes from the word aslama, the root word in the Arabic language, which means to submit. Submit to what? To submit to the one God of all the prophets, the God of Abraham, the God of Adam, the God of Noah, the God of Moses. We believe in all of these prophets. They were Muslims, meaning they submitted their will to the one true God. Even Christians, the Jews will agree. These prophets submitting to the one true God, submitted to the one true creator, or they cannot be prophets. So they have to submit to God because they were getting revelation from God. We say that's what it means to be a Muslim, to submit to the one true creator, the one true God. And we say that Abraham, in which we all agree upon, as the Quran says, we all agree on Abraham. We all believe in Abraham. Abraham could not have been a Jew or a Christian. There was no Jesus. There was no Moses. There was no Judah yet. There was no Jacob. There was no Isaac. None of them were in existence, but Abraham was still a believer. He was still speaking with God. He was the friend of God. And sometimes I say a friend of God, but I didn't know God was a Trinity because he never worshiped a Trinity or preached a Trinity, right? So the friend of God in the belief of Christians, the person, one of the closest people to God, they say the godfather of the religions or whatever terms you want to use for him. What religion was he? He could have been Christian. He could have been Jew. The only rational explanation that we can use is that he submitted his will to the one true God. He obeyed. He followed the teachings and commands of God. And these traditions comes from him and all of the previous prophets. Jesus followed him, Moses followed him, David, Solomon, all of them followed him. And that's what it means to be a Muslim. And that's why Allah in the Quran says to Prophet Muhammad عليه الصلاة والسلام, اتبع ملة إبراهيم حنيفا. Follow the way of Abraham, a monotheist way of Abraham, same way that Abraham. Allah عز وجل says to Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام as well, أولئك الذين هدى الله, those are the ones that Allah guided, referring to the prophets. فبهداهم مقتدي, with their guidance follow, stick, follow the same route as the guidance as these previous prophets and messengers. So we believe in all of these prophets and messengers. We believe in the teachings that they came with, and we believe they were Muslims, meaning they submitted their will to the one true God, they worship one true God, and they gave the message to their people. Simple as that.
Makes total sense. So the last part, he's referencing Bible verses, and I asked a Christian pastor about this, you know, these verses, how could Christians, because 80% I believe of Zionists are Christian, you have more Zionist Christians, so how can they, people who are, you know, for peace and Jesus, Prince of Peace and whatnot, he goes, it was a condition, it was a program, it was set up, and then he takes me back and I just condense the history, this dispensationalism, he talks about the Scofield Bible, Cyrus Scofield, who was a con artist, went to jail, came out, got funded by the Zionist organization, they took him down to the UK press, Oxford, they printed a million copies, pushed this out. So they took these fringe teachings of Christianity from the left, from the right, really extreme teachings. He put this into the Scofield Bible. Then the exegesis, the interpretation of these verses that he's quoting, links it back to the Zionist agenda to this modern state of Israel. So now they pushed this million copies into the universities, and then they had series and docuseries, The Late Great Planet Earth, 40 million copies sold. So now this is how the American public
organized movement.
They got conditioned to this. But before that, there was no such thing as a Judeo-Christian, Judeo-Christian, and these 1800 years of Christianity, there was nothing connecting this to what this agenda is and what's happening today. So what do you have to say?
What I have to say is just like, looking at history, you understand why there's always changes in the writings of the Bible, depending on who was an authority at the time. You go back to Constantine, for example, and him essentially ordering the killing of any heretic groups. If you had the Ebionites, the Nazarenes, all of these groups that didn't believe Jesus was God or the Trinity or any of that, or the divinity of Jesus, they said they were heretic groups, and they were, even though they were very early groups, earlier than before the Roman Empire adopted Christianity, before Constantine, but they said, look, they're heretic groups. We've done a council, so let's believe this. We've done another council now, let's add the Trinity. So the divinity of Jesus, the equality, and then, okay, let's bring the Trinity. And then you go to the King James, where a lot of people will talk about his sexual tendencies. You know, you're welcome to do your own research on that and see what he used to do and what he used to do. And then the commission of his Bible in 1611. And you see the changes. And how do you know there's changes? You go into the new modern Bibles now and how they're saying this is, like the NIV would say, this has great defects. It's not relying on the most ancient manuscripts. interpolations, mistakes, incorrect statements within it.
You're actually reading now from the RSV, Revised Standard Version.
Absolutely.
Saying that the King James Version has grave defects.
In the introduction.
So many and so serious as a call for a revision.
Absolutely. You the introduction.
You're not making this up.
Anyone can go. Just go in the RSV introduction and or RSV comments on the KJV because it's a Revised Standard Version of the KJV. They're revising it. There's need for revision, right?
These are the top scholars. Of
I believe 50 or something like that. Yeah. And you're welcome to read them. Do your research. And this is historically Christians deciding to do this because they agree and they know that, you know what, it's just with history. And why was this so easy? This was so easy because there was an elitism when it comes to scripture. The common folk could not read the Latin of the scripture, Latin and all of you, they had these languages. Mm-hmm. And you had the elitism in the scribes, scribal works. So there were only a select group of people who are allowed to read and teach scripture. It's not like today where anyone can just Google the Bible and read. And that's why it was very easy for someone to add words, take words, change. Because if you've got control of the elitists, you've got control over the Bible, essentially, whatever you want written down there. And that's why in Islamic history, you will never find this. Is because they were never an elitist thing to preserve the scripture, to read. And it was always from the beginning that everyone can memorize the Quran, everyone can read the Quran, everyone can teach the Quran to their people. And that is why you're not going to find a similar issue like this. So yeah, the Bible is like, you usually ask which Bible? 66, 73, 83, 82, 88. Which Bible are you referring to? Which group? Catholic, Protestant? This is enough sufficient of a claim that the changes happen. Just like this priest was telling you throughout history, based on the political group of the people in power, like pushing whichever narrative they want to push to the people.
Okay, two more clips. Let's get into this one, and we'll comment. We covered everything there. And again, for the Patrick and David, the co-host, for Charlie, for just the general public, I mean, I told you, you're going to learn a lot. Open your mind, be sincere, and there's facts here. You can research this stuff, and hopefully we can come back to a common ground. And because you can see, you know, we can't let these lies that people go ahead and perpetuate be unchecked. And they have no pushback. So we're pushing back. And
interestingly enough, I want to say this is like, this is not the first time we do this. I did it before, and probably you've done it before as well, right, with different guests. And we want to highlight something. There's a pattern for the viewers that are watching the PBD or any of these people. There's a pattern of blatant lies. We're not talking about and this is not offensive to them because we're saying this clear-cut repeated behavior which shows that this is intentional, right? So it's not a slip-up or a small mistake here or there. It's continuous clear-cut, you know, false information being spread, then continuous correction and never response to the correction. Now I want you as a viewer, if you view the content of PBD or any of these people, you will see it's not just me or Brother Eddie or many people have continuously just Google PBD, respond to PBD or refutation of PBD. You will find like so many videos out there online, and you're welcome to then fact check and cross reference whatever is being said, and you will see that there is a consistent pattern of blatant lies. And this is the truth. Majority of the people today that are Christians that are on social media trying to push for a Christianity, they don't talk about the religion. They just end up talking about other people. The only way they can support the religion is by pushing against Islam or pushing specifically Islam or any other thing. But to push forward their own faith is not there. To preach something, because there's nothing that is logical to preach for many of them. They don't know what to talk about. They don't want to read the Bible because no one is going to watch. They end up attacking this day and night. There's nothing of preaching of their own books. There's nothing of teaching of their own Bible, but just blatant lies, misconceptions, claims about other faiths and other religions, because they can see that the Christians are moving away. They're not only moving on from Christianity to atheism, but they're moving from Christianity to Islam, as Pew Research Institute would show, right? Got like a clear kind of projection that they showed you, like 60 million people leaving Christianity to atheism, the highest people with conversion rate when it comes to conversion rate was Muslims, people accepting Islam, many of which of them were Christians, right? So they're showing you this is a reality that is taking place. And what they're trying to do, as they say, damage control, let's attack where people are going instead of, this is a way, attack is the best way to defend, is what they would say, because we've got nothing to tell the people, let's just attack where the people are going so we can push them away from it. They're better atheists to some of these people than they are Muslims.
And they usually go ahead and undermine the amount of people who are actually coming in after reading the Quran, connecting with Muslims, seeing the message, the simple message of Islam, the pure, absolute monotheism, the blueprint for life, everything is clear, the miracles of the Quran, the sign, and they say, oh, just birth weights.
Yeah.
Just birth weights.
Yeah, but the reason is they are threatened by the intellectualism and the purity and simplicity and the attractiveness of Islam. It is just encapsulating of anyone who looks at it.
Mm-hmm.
You don't need much. Like the fitrah, the deep innate disposition that we believe in as Muslims, that you're born upon an innate disposition to recognize the monotheism of God and the basic right and wrong. When you hear these things, Allah Azza wa Jal says there's only one God. Qul huwa Allah. I'd say Allah is uniquely one. Allah is the absolute, independent, self-sufficient. Everything depends on God. God doesn't depend on anyone. He doesn't beget nor he's born. He doesn't get pregnant, have parents, grandparents, children. And there is nothing like unto him in his greatness and his majesty.
Yeah.
And this chapter of 112 of the Quran, you just listen to it and that's it. Like, what have you got to say?
And then when Charlie's up there, for Charlie, when you were there in Palestine, I mean, you're hearing the, why don't they just go across the other side, you know? And if you listen to the Palestinian Christian, how are they referring to a God as?
Yeah, they would say Allah.
They would say Allah.
They would say Allah.
In Aramaic, Allaha.
Yes.
Okay, let's go on to the next.
A second, they have full access to Al-Aqsa Mosque. I was there myself. I was around 500 Muslims on the Al-Aqsa Mosque. Hold on a second. Jews' heads are cut off in Hebron if they go to Hebron. Right. Jews and Israelis are not allowed in Palestinian authority.
I was in
Hebron 3 weeks ago. You know what happened? If a Jew goes to Hebron, their head will get cut off.
Okay, so Jews are not allowed in the Temple Mount. You do know that, right?
One more clip after. Let's cover this quickly. Again, that narrative that it's like a Jew-Muslim things. They can't go over here. They're going to chop heads and whatnot. You already kind of refuted this with the historical context. Andalusia, Spain, and then Jerusalem at the time of Muslim rule. What else do you want to say?
And as we said, even today, looking at Morocco, looking at Yemen, looking at Egypt. We're not even saying history. You're saying, look today, if you would like, at the time of the Prophet, after it in the Muslim Empire in Andalusia, or today, like whichever you want to look in history, this is just the reality. But the funny thing is this is why I was saying I was reacting that time. The time I made the video on the issue was because they're not only not allowing throwing these gas bombs in the masjid and attacking them and removing them, physically removing them while standing in line just praying. Literally a man just standing like this and they're removing them physically in line from prayer. I don't know which world he lives in, you know? He doesn't see how many times, today, there are pictures already, for anyone who can Google this. Just Google pictures of Masjid al-Aqsa and you'll see now, you've seen now rocks and parts of the masjid broken because of the bombing, the continuous bombing that keeps happening. The attacks, you will see the continuous bombing and attacks taking place and he's saying Jews are being killed or whatever it is, what he's saying. What world are you living on? Like, what planet do you live on, right? It's like, there are clear videos. You know, I had an IDF soldier, as I said, that came on my stream and accepted Islam. And he was talking about the horrific thing that he was doing as an IDF soldier before. And they just go these soldiers will say, they just go in the house, they knock the door, they kick the family out, and they just sit down and relax in the house. And they don't tell them when they can come back. Imagine I knock on your door, I kick you on all your family outside and I sit in your house, just for relaxing. If I say keep your wife here, you have to keep your wife here, or you're killed, or you're taken in prison. There was this woman. Just recently, there was a video circulating of her. I don't know, a reporter, or whatever it is, and she just on social media, she just expressed support of Palestinian people. They were just arresting her for social media making a post expressing support. So I don't know. Let alone doing something, just expressing support is enough for someone to be taken into custody to be persecuted. What do you mean killing? The Palestinians have no army. Have no weapons, have no navy, have no tanks, have no nothing. Guns, they have nothing, right? So that those normal Palestinian people are faced with a full backed, supported by army, by the British, by the Americans, etc., by all of these nations, and they have tens of navy of battleships, tens of aircrafts, tens of tanks, tens of military navy. They have all of these things. And you're trying to tell me that the group of people who have nothing, who are over 70% or 70% women and children, are the ones who are going and just randomly going attacking Israelis and nothing is happening? Like, is there a brain when people like make these statements or...
And what's even more compelling when you see Israelis and Jewish people, I've interviewed like Miko Pilled from the general's son. His father was strong, you know, Zionist family, one of the original signers of the Declaration of Independence for Israel, and many other Jews, rabbis who come out, and they're the ones who are, their humanity is on, and they're coming out and speaking out against this. For what reason, right?
Yes, panel, just like I said this before, is like,
you had that IDF soldier, right? Yeah, yeah, yeah. That actually accepted Islam.
Yes,
his conscience. He and he was talking about how people are on drugs. Yes. You know, the nightmares they're having. They're like, you know, coming back, just PTSD, going crazy. It's a punishment from God. And then he ends up talking about his trials and whatnot. But then you actually...
I want to say something actually funny about this is because, subhanAllah, first he...
So I'm sorry, it's not IDF because I interviewed a guest. She said Palestinians don't like that. It's IOF, Israeli Oppressive
Forces.
Defense.
Okay, yeah, no problem. So from the IOF or whatever term you want to use for them, what's really interesting is when he came, he had his name as title as Zionist.
Yeah.
In the backstage. And I was like, okay, I'm going to deal with the Zionists now. And he was extremely, like, he wanted to go, you know, back and forth. He wanted, like, but then it was, he found a calm discussion. He found, like, responses to what he did. So it's kind of like it was unexpected. But the interesting thing is I had people in the comments trying their best to deny that he was a soldier. Why? Because they cannot just accept the fact that these things are happening. It's against their narrative. It destroys it. So look, he's got an accent. Yes, he's got an accent because 90% of the people living there are coming from Europe, right?
Yeah.
90% of these Zionists traveling are coming. Where do you think they're coming from? If you look at their army or defense forces or whatever you want to, you see, look, they make these videos about the diversity of how every nation literally.
These are Europeans coming over.
Yeah.
The majority of these politicians, if you've seen Uncovered, their names aren't even their real name. They changed their names. Yes. It was Swolowski or Diski, Netanyahu. Yes. That's not even his real name.
Yeah, yeah. SubhanAllah. And I'm like, are you really that ignorant to say that this guy's got an accent, therefore he's not like, are you really that? There is even more proof that he is, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's subhanAllah. So if you have humanity, you will end up turning and realizing and coming back to the reality, the fact that these people are being oppressed, which is what happened to this person. His humanity was fighting against the oppression that was taking place. He couldn't take it, couldn't handle it, nor him, nor the other soldiers.
This is going to blow your mind now. This is the last clip, okay? This will blow, it's very short. And I was just dumbfounded listening to this after, because you would think, okay, imagine a Muslim coming out like this and let it speak for itself.
SubhanAllah.
Only place in the Middle East that has any appreciation for LGBT rights whatsoever. It's the only country in the Middle East that doesn't throw homosexuals off the top of buildings when they find them. It is the only partner that we have in the fight against radical Islamic terrorism. And the subtext of your narrative could be extrapolated to say, well, why on earth would we have a partner like Israel? Guess what? The world's a better place.
So yeah, we say to Christians, okay, you're the Christian conservatives. Here's your representatives. They are saying, we love Israel because they support the LGBTQ rights. Tel Aviv was the capital of the gay people, which I don't remember which year. And they're very happy, they're very welcoming, they're very loving of the LGBTQ community. And what I will say to you as Muslims, these are your representatives. We remember, as you said, why they were wanting to ally with Muslims is because, you know, Muslims are the last defense force against who? Against all of these changes and things that are happening to our children, or what they were saying, right? Now you see these same people they're bringing on and they're praising and they're echoing the exact opposite message of what they were telling you a couple of weeks ago. I wonder what they will say to you 2 weeks later. It's all about who is funding. If someone is funding you, your view will change from 1 to 2 to 3 to 4 to 5. And we will say the thing. Muslims were always in the same position when it comes to this. We have our own beliefs. We believe something is considered a sin in Islam. We believe it's considered a sin in Islam. We don't teach it to our children. We teach our children that which we believe. This is our right, just like everyone has the right to teach their children whatever they want. Now, these are your representatives. You're welcome to have them. You're welcome to follow them. If this is your conservatism, then you're welcome to join Alphabet community, or whatever term you want to use for them, and be a part of it.
So here, it's kind of like, you know, where we started off with the Bible. And it seemed like here liberalism kicked in and he just threw the Bible away.
Absolutely.
He just threw it away. The Bible's gone now. So now you have, before they were talking about, okay, the sexualization of children, because the catalyst comes from that, right? So now it's like, okay, everything that the woke, you know, agenda and everything, now just to kind of attack Muslims and Islam, it's like now we're grabbing at straws.
Do you remember what I said last time?
Yeah.
Christians will jump from one place to another depending on the context. And this is my experience. And you can see it happening here, right? They will jump from one pawn to another pawn depending on the context when they're talking to you. You know, they will jump to the opposite side, right? The side of this, we are at the side of the river. Whenever it's convenient, we'll be on the other side of the river. That's just how it is.
Let's close with this. Since this can be a sensitive topic to many people, I mean, you've... Are you somebody who hates Jews?
Absolutely not. 100%. I don't. We as Muslims love goodness. We treat
you hate
people.
Christians.
Allah Azza wa Jalla says in the Quran. Respond to the verse from the Quran, which is my belief, right? Allah Azza wa Jalla says in the Quran, "La yanhaakum Allah." Allah does not forbid you from those who do not fight you because of religion. Do not kick you out of your homes from being just towards them. Allah loves those who are just. This is our belief as Muslims. We, of course, will dislike the people who are slaughtering our brothers and sisters, oppressing our brothers. We have to be honest, right? We are not. We do not love people who oppress others. But that does not mean in any way, shape, or form that this is applicable to people who are innocent. We say innocent people, we have nothing against them. We treat with them justly. We treat with them fairly. We're good to them, just like they are good to people around them. And that's why we were talking about living in harmony in Islamic history, right? So we don't spread messages of hatred towards communities, towards groups, whether it is Christians, whether it is Muslims. The reason we're talking about these things is first, the other side started talking about this false, blatant information. We're responding to it. That's number one. And number two is we're clarifying the truth anyways for the people who are interested to hear, because it's an obligation upon us. So it's not coming from a place of hatred. And we mentioned before the hadith of the Prophet ﷺ, when he said, "I'm the closest ally, closest friend of Jesus, son of Mary," right? And he said, "There's no messenger between me and him." And the prophets are like cousins, right? This is the belief we have. We love Moses, peace be upon him. He's our messengers, maybe the most mentioned by name, if I remember correctly, in the Quran, prophet, right? So these are all beliefs that we have. And we live with Christians. We've been living with Christians. I've been living with Christians almost all my life around different societies, different countries, different communities. So we're not encouraging anyone to do anything illegal. We're not encouraging anyone to have hatred towards anyone. We're talking here purely from a rational, from an intellectual point of view. This is not a message of hatred. It's not a message of violence towards any groups or any minorities or any people. Rather, it is a message of truth and advice and genuine care for the people around us. This is what I would say.
What's the verse in the Quran? I would say we're coming from, I mean, correct me if I'm wrong, if you agree or disagree, but I would say, you know, I personally coming from, you know, because the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, peace be awesome. Upon him, it was sent as a mercy to mankind.
Yes.
Because, and so if you're coming out from, obviously we hate oppression, we mm-hmm. hate injustice, mm-hmm. right? But generally, from the get-go, is it the foundation, if it's mercy, and then what's the verse from the Quran, the ayah from the Quran, where mm-hmm. Allah is telling the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, are you going to kill yourself out of
are you going to kill yourself so they do become believers? This is, for example, one of the verses, many verses of the Quran like
now,
this.
Now, is he doing this out of hate or love?
No, that he was so much trying everything. Allah is saying, you would go to the extent of like, your life is going to go from the amount of effort that you're trying to put to get these people to accept Islam. And we know the narration where he saw the Jewish person, his funeral on the Prophet ﷺ said, this is a soul that...
So the companion said, why are you standing up?
Yes, yes, yes.
He said, isn't that a human soul?
Yes, yes. So the other, subhanAllah, there was a son of a Jewish person who was sick with the Prophet ﷺ, visited them. And then the Prophet ﷺ said to the son, that accept Islam. And then the father, who is a Jewish person, said to his son, listen, to obey the Prophet Muhammad. And he did it. Mm-hmm. So this is very interesting. There was this relationship that was there between the Prophet والسلام, and this, you know, dealing justly and fairly. But love is a concept that can be deceiving sometimes. And we don't want to sound, you know, like we are compromising and changing the teachings of our religion by saying that we love all Christians, we love all Jews. That's not the case. We love goodness and love people who do good. And we have even this concept of Islam. There's a concept called wala and bara. So alliance and disassociation. And this wala and bara is based on the goodness that in someone, even with Muslims. So I would love a Muslim based on how much good is in him. And I would dislike him or dislike the actions that he's doing based on how much evil that he's doing. Even a Muslim. We're saying this is applicable to all human beings. Muslims, Christian, Jew, whatever it is. The alliance and love that we put is based on the goodness that are in these people and individuals. We cannot say we love everyone like some Christians would say. Mm-hmm. Like, and you start telling them, do you love Hitler? Do you love this person? They say, oh, you know what? Changed my mind. And remember our brother, Sneeko, is the last thing I want to say. He was actually doing his one-minute podcast and there was a Jewish person who sat down with him. And then the Jewish person said to him, do you love everyone? We love everyone. So Sneeko asked him, do you love Hitler? And then he was like, you know, he didn't know what to say, right? So we don't give confusing messages, incorrect messages, that when you actually start to ask us questions, we change our position. We say, this is the message, what we've been saying, is that we love goodness, we love people who do good, and we do not like oppression, and we try to defend ourselves, we're not pacifists, and this is what Islam teaches.
Because if you really want good for mankind, I mean, this is something where this is not like two gangs over here, right? So we're trying to, and at the end, you can accept to reject, right?
Absolutely.
But you know that we want good for you.
Absolutely.
We 100%. Want good for the Patrick Ben Davis, for the Charlie Kirks. Mm-hmm. At the end, we can agree to disagree, but let's have some integrity.
Absolutely.
Let's speak the truth. If you really want to know about it, it's not come, invite, let's talk. We don't have to be on camera. Mm-hmm. You ready to go?
100%.
Patrick, we're
right
ready
now.
To go?
Let's do it.
Let's do it. We're here. You know, you got my number. Both of you do. All right. Thank you.
No problem. I appreciate it. I'm happy to be here. I'm always happy to be here. And I appreciate this. Great things that we need to encounter, because I might miss them, you know, due to business. So I appreciate like bringing them to light.
And this is the Muslim Lantern, Muhammad Ali. Jazakallah
khair. Barakallah fi, jazakallah khair.
And for the rest of you, if you'd like a free copy of the Quran to see for yourself, as many are reading the Quran, they're accepting Islam, you can go to thedeanshow.com and we'll send you one for free. Until next time, peace be with you. Assalamu alaikum. I cannot leave without giving you a gift. If you're not yet Muslim and you're tuning in to see what these Muslims are talking about and you like a free copy of the Quran, go ahead and visit thedeanshow.com. We'll take care of the postage and everything and get it delivered to you. And if you still have some questions about Islam, call us at 1-800-662-4752. We'll see you next time. Until then, peace be with you. Assalamu alaikum. And if you like this episode of The Dean Show, like this video, share this video far and wide, and support us on our Patreon page so we can continue this work. Thank you for tuning in. Peace be with you. Assalamu alaikum.